Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello and welcome in Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. We are glad that you are with us again today. It's Thursday, which means Lee Kelly is with me as co-host for this program today. A lot to get to in the hour, a couple great guests, some interesting things going on out there in the world of college basketball as we get ready for the season. A guilty verdict came down yesterday from the jury in New York in the college basketball fraud trial. Some people think, and it very likely could be the first of a couple trials, who knows how many it ends up being, but definitely the guilty verdicts. Now, what does the NCAA do? Those are all questions as we get ready for the 18-19 college basketball season that make you wonder what in the world is going to happen. How is the NCAA going to handle this? Who's next? What might, of all the sworn testimony they go after first or investigate first, going to be some really interesting days ahead in college basketball? And, of course, as a time frame or a timetable, how quickly do they move ahead? They have to move ahead with some sort of investigation to see this thing through from an NCAA perspective, but do they do it immediately? Do they wait until after the season? Do they quietly do their investigation in the background as the season gets ready to begin? It's going to be very, very interesting to follow. If we didn't think we were excited enough about the start of college basketball season, I don't know that anyone's excited about the start of an NCAA investigation if that's the next step in this process, but it's something that has to happen, and I cannot see the NCAA not taking some major action if they can. And this is sworn testimony, so it's not like it's just you or me, Lee, saying something, but going to be very interesting, no question about it. The college basketball season is here. I saw someone tweet this morning that after we get through the next week, this is the last Thursday night, the last Thursday with no college basketball available for you to watch for the next 5 months. And Lee, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty exciting fact.
Yeah, I'm excited in ways that I haven't been in a long time. So just looking forward to watching certainly IU, certainly Romeo, but a lot of these other guys that have played with Romeo through the years that you kind of feel like you know better than maybe you normally would. A lot of the freshmen, Zion Williamson and Barrett and that crew, that I know their names. I've watched them in the McDonald's games and so on. Looking forward to all of college basketball and then certainly waiting for high school ball to roll around as well.
We're going to talk a little high school ball today. Let's look at the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham. Segment one, Lee and I have the Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Today we'll take a look at the guilty verdict in the college basketball trial. Romeo Langford is, as expected, in Evan Daniels' draft board for the June 2019 NBA draft. He's high on his board. We'll tell you about where he's at. Also, we're going to talk some high school football, get you set for Friday's games, is semifinal round of sectionals. Get ready to kick off later this week. Also, we're going to talk some high school basketball. We'll go through some of the top teams in the area. Teams have been practicing now for about 2 months. They can go twice a week for a maximum of 4 hours. We'll take a look at who we think some of the top teams will be as we kind of start to get excited about the high school basketball season. And segment two today, we will have joining us Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. We'll talk IU basketball with Alex, and then later in the program, high school basketball again. Joe Luce, the coach at Jeffersonville, joins us. We haven't caught up with Coach Luce since back in the summer. A lot to chat with him about. We'll talk not only about the Red Devils and their progress in the summer and in the offseason so far, but Tommy Luce, his son, entering his second year as a walk-on at Purdue. A lot of excitement with that, too. So Coach Luce joins us later in the program. That's a look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's go to the Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. We do the headlines each day here on the program. Headline number one, the guilty verdict that was handed down yesterday about 2:50 in the afternoon in New York in a federal courthouse. Those guys, those three guys, Jim Gatto, Merle Code, Christian Dawkins, they will go down as famous figures, I think, that have surrounded college basketball through the years, guilty of conspiracy to commit wire fraud, guilty of conspiracy to commit wire fraud against the University of Louisville, and also against the University of Kansas were the official charges that that came down. The question now, as I started with at the top of the show, Lee, is what does the NCAA do with the sworn testimony, with what came up in the court case? Getting to this guilty verdict that was decided by the jury yesterday was a long process that included a lot of testimony. Yesterday on the program, I mentioned that IU assistant coach Tom Ostrom's name came up in some text messages where he was communicating with a figure in Silvio D'Souza's recruitment, where he said Indiana is willing to do whatever it takes. A lot of different ways to take that message. What does that mean exactly? But if it touched Indiana, who I don't think has much to worry about, how many different programs did it touch in the trial? A lot is the answer to that. You could probably count up the exact number. But how many other instances of what we're hearing from these three men with the players and the AAU people and the various connections that they had and were involved with illegal activities, how many instances of what they did exist with Nike guys and Under Armour guys and other runners in between all this in college basketball? That's interesting because will more come up? I think the answer has to be yes. And, of course, as I said at the top, what does the NCAA do with all of this sworn testimony? Part of that college basketball reform, that you know, USA Basketball is going to get more involved with elite prospects, changing the July recruiting period, urging high school coaches to get more involved with live periods for coaches to get out and recruit during the month of June when high school teams have their summer league activities. All of those things, one of the things that was included in that process was any type of legal investigation, law enforcement, court testimony can now be used by the NCAA for their own investigations. So they've been given all of this sworn testimony, all of these transcripts. What do they do with it? Do they actively go after each of these instances and each of these details where it looks like there were some NCAA violations? Because if that's the case, this could be a wild college basketball season and off season next year in ways that we've probably never thought it might be.
Yeah, and it was interesting reading Rick Bozich's comments this morning on the WDRB website about conversations he had with the ACC coaches at their media day. And some, Mike Bray at Notre Dame, talking about glad to see this. He said, we're not one of the schools that go after the one-and-dones. And a lot of the other coaches said the same thing. And then you go to Krzyzewski, and he goes, what are they going to do with it? He said, who do you give the information to? Who takes over and runs with this? He goes, the NCAA is governed basically by a committee, and a committee never accomplishes anything when it comes to enforcing rules. So it's interesting how he views it. I'm not sure he's in it for change, but it's certainly apparent that Virginia Tech and Notre Dame and a lot of the other schools would love to have a much more level playing field.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. Going to be real interesting to see how the NCAA handles this and what the future looks like. It's hard to believe that they will not act on some of the pretty blatant things that were stated, even against other schools. I mean, Kansas, there were a lot of things that came up. Kansas seems to think through some of the statements that they've released that they're in okay shape. But a lot of schools named, details given. It wasn't just I think this school offered this or this school tried to do this. It was details. It was assistant coaches that were involved in the communication. There are text messages out there. There are things that were seized as part of this trial that could be used to start others with, you know, and the NCAA side of the investigation as well. So going to be really interesting, no question about that. Headline number two is Romeo Langford, number six on a draft board for the 2019 draft. Evan Daniels of 247 Sports, who's been with us on this program multiple times in the past. One of the guys out there that's been doing this a long time, he follows these players from kids on the travel basketball circuit to men as college basketball players, and he's got a really good eye for this stuff. Langford, six on the draft board, that puts him obviously as a draft pick. He has R.J. Barrett of Duke at the number one pick or the number one slot on his board right now. Nasir Little of North Carolina, what an athlete he is the number two pick. Cameron Reddish also at Duke, number three. Zion Williamson at number four. Bol Bol out at Oregon, the big man, son of Manute Bol, 7'3" with a 7'8" wingspan, 9'7" standing reach for Bol. He's number five. Langford is at number six. I've seen Romeo anywhere from, I think, eight to maybe five. No question about it that he is on pace, you could say, with what we know and what others see to be a not just a draft pick in the first round, but to be an NBA lottery pick. There's still a lot of time between now and June. A lot of things can happen. He hasn't played his first college basketball game yet, but we know the skills. We know the natural ability. We know the glides that he has that make him a very, very interesting prospect. And as I've said, I know for sure NBA teams are agreeing with him being in that vicinity because they're already doing their background research. They're reaching out to Jim Shannon. They're reaching out to people that know him and his family best, saying, hey, you know, what's he like off the court? We know he's amazing on the court. We know his attitude's amazing on the court. But what's he like when he's not around? What's his family like? You know, does he party much? How does he treat teammates? How does he interact with students that don't play basketball? Many, many things that I never really thought of or realized that NBA teams would care beyond the fact, are you a great basketball player, A, and B, are you a pretty good human being that's not going to cause us too much trouble, which obviously the answer, most of those situations are pretty obvious. You would know their record or hear stories and things like that. But the level of research being done on Romeo and other guys too is just astounding. And this has been a learning process for me to kind of see all this unfold or hear about it unfold. But nonetheless, Langford squarely looks to be a lottery pick this season. I know a lot of IU fans hope that he's back for year two at the Hoosiers, but I struggle to see that as a legitimate possibility when you've got the kind of projections and the kind of hype that he has at the NBA level.
Romeo has done things his way, and that's in a good way for the years that I've known him. And can I see him passing up millions and millions of dollars? Probably not. But on the other hand, I could, if anybody would do that, it would be Romeo because of some goal that he has or because he is loving life at IU. If anybody was going to do that, I could see Romeo doing that because he marches to the beat of a different drummer in a lot of ways. I think he loves his teammates, and I think he wants to win more than he wants to score 100 points in a ball game. And so it's going to be interesting. I just, though, how do you walk away from that kind of money? Unless somebody's going to buy you an insurance policy for $50 million if you get hurt, then I don't see it happening.
He's always wanted to be an NBA player. That has been his chief goal. And I agree, he's having fun. That's obvious. There was a video out last week at the very end. He took the last shot and a big smile as he turned away, pointing to Hoosier hysteria. He danced with a little bit. I'll give him that, a little bit. Not a full breakout dance, but he gave a little jig there with the lights off. There's no question he's having fun and enjoying this next step in his life and in his basketball career. But he wants to be an NBA player. That's his childhood dream, and I think that's what he'll be, barring something unforeseen. But it will be really interesting, on how things play out. And, of course, he's wearing that gold jersey this week up at Indiana, as we talked a lot about yesterday, and I'm sure we'll get into with Alex Bosich when he joins us. But as the leader, statistically-wise, plus-minus-wise, in practices over the last week. So things are going good for him. You want to hear that going into the first exhibition game, that not only is he doing some great things, but he's actually at the top of the leaderboard over Juwan Morgan, who's, you know, been there for 4 years now, in his fourth year, and been through these practices and knows the routine. And Romeo is up there with him, if not higher, on some weeks. So really interesting to see that. High School Football Friday, I want to touch on that briefly. We've got our Zaxby's High School Football segment coming up later in the program, where we'll talk a little bit more about these games. But New Albany, Clarksville, Rock Creek, and Charlestown, they're eliminated. That's four schools of the eight in Clark and Floyd counties that play high school football. Floyd Central has a very tough matchup this week with Bedford. I think it's a tough one. I think the Highlanders are capable of advancing on to the 5A sectional championship, but no question, it's a tough game. It's also our feature game here on Kentuckiana Football Fridays on the Big X. Jeffersonville, they host Franklin Central. If there is a perfect draw for the Red Devils in 6A, that's it. It's to play at home and to not play Center Grove or Columbus North. So a possibility, a window open for the Devils, but still going to be tough, even though Franklin Central has had its struggles as well this season. And the Silver Creek game, that might be one of the more interesting games this Friday. They take on Edgewood. If they win that game, whoever wins that game likely will play East Central, a power in 4A football. So I guess, Lee, what I'm framing up, and Providence is expected to beat Perry Central this Friday, what I'm framing up is my goal for Friday night is to not be down to one high school football team in Clark and Floyd counties moving on to a sectional championship. By gosh, I'd like to see two or three schools at least play for a sectional championship a week from this Friday night. That means Floyd Central has some work cut out to beat Bedford. That means that the Devils or Silver Creek or both of them need to find ways to win those games. I don't want to get to the sectional championship Friday night and have just Providence playing. And again, they're a favorite to win. It's nothing's a guarantee or a cinch, especially in the postseason. If you need to reference why that I say that, look at Charlestown, who's not playing anymore and likely should still be playing this week, but Salem upset them a week ago. We got to get to that sectional championship with multiple teams. Can we do it?
Yeah, you can. Will you? I don't know. It's interesting. Was Bedford playing better earlier in the year or later in the year? That I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. Bedford's capable of putting a lot of points on the board. They have. They've done it against New Albany. They've done it against Columbus East. Floyd Central relies more on their defense than they do their offense. So can Floyd's solid defense stop Bedford's solid offense? That's the big question mark out there. Silver Creek, I think they are at home, which will help. But again, the last weather forecast I checked with Kevin Harden last night on his 11 o'clock, it looks like it could very easily be raining again Friday night at football kickoff time. So I don't know who that favors, but it doesn't favor fans being comfortable watching football again on Friday night.
It favors you and I being in the studio for Kentucky at a Football Fridays instead of out there at a game like Justin or some others that will be helping us with our coverage this weekend. But interesting Friday night. Again, I love to see the local teams do well. I hate to see local teams in any class, any school, get eliminated on the first week. But let's see what happens and see if we can get multiple teams onto the sectional championship. And, of course, I think Providence has a legitimate chance to win a sectional, probably the best of any team that's still around, but we'll see what happens. High school basketball, before we close out the first segment, Lee, I know you and I both love the high school game, and we've talked so much about IU, we've talked so much about the upcoming college basketball season and all the things we're excited to watch in this upcoming season. I wanted to spend a moment with you before we get to Alex and talk about what we think on this high school basketball season forthcoming. On Thursdays, you and I, once the season gets here, we'll kind of have a nice little high school basketball type report type deal in our show later on. And we always give a top five for whatever that's worth. It opens the door for you and I to take a lot of hell is what it does. but kind of to look at that, you know, I was jotting out some notes and things last night, getting ready for previews and all the things that are still ahead. It's really hard for me to pick a one, a two, or a three. And you say, well, how is it that hard? Well, in my opinion, Silver Creek, Floyd Central, and I know some people think, well, Floyd Central graduated so much, even though they returned Kobe Barnes. But Silver Creek, Floyd Central, New Albany, in any order, I really like those three teams in the number one spot. Jeffersonville, just barely behind. But when you've got three teams you like for the number one spot, that puts them at four. And then Christian Academy, they're going to be this year's going to be really good at Christian Academy. Next year is going to be unbelievable at Christian Academy. State championship type contenders. Steve Kerberg's put that program in that position. That's exciting to see that. And then, of course, at the top of things, we've got New Albany and Floyd Central and Silver Creek and Jeffersonville. And to be quite honest, you could probably throw those first four, maybe even five, into a bucket and draw them out for your preseason top five from Clark and Floyd counties. It's much more even. There's not a absolute standout player, but we've got a lot of really good players this year. So it's going to really hard to gauge at this point.
It is, and we'll get a little bit of a preview early. Christian Academy will be at Floyd Central for the opening game for those two teams. So it's going to be an opportunity to see who's where at that point. You mentioned Floyd Central lost, I think, seven seniors that played a great deal. They return some key players that do a great job. They're going to be fun to watch. Christian Academy, maybe a year away. Maybe they hit a year early. It's going to be interesting when those two play. Silver Creek opens with Henryville, a traditional game that's been that way since my days back at Silver Creek in the 60s. So you look forward to that. So Henryville lost a ton. They had an outstanding team, not just last year, but the last few years. We'll see how quickly they can rebuild. Jeffersonville opens with Evansville Day at Jeff. And who am I missing here? New Albany opens the Saturday after Thanksgiving at home with Bloomington South. They've got Anthony Leal. They've got some other talented players. New Albany looks like they've got a nice, talented team coming. It's going to be a fun basketball season.
It's really a season. We're going to have to get 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks into it probably to have an accurate read on things. And, of course, you got New Albany, Floyd Central. That game takes place pretty early on in the season. That's one of those that'll tell you a lot early. But there are some really interesting things to follow. I feel like there's still a real uptick with high school basketball as well, coming off of last year with Romeo and some of the great games that area teams had. And let's hope that continues. I think it will this season. We'll head to a break. That's the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters, your hometown sports grill, where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Alex Bozich is next, presented by CC Power Sports. Then Jeffersonville coach Joe Luce joins us on this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday show. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is with us each week, presented by CC Power Sports. CC Power Sports with two locations serving Indiana and Kentucky. One is in Clarksville. That's a mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. The Louisville store right off of Interstate 65 in southern Jefferson County. They carry Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, and Suzuki. New riders welcome, and of course, racers welcome at CC Power Sports. Alex is with us now. Alex, Romeo, we found out a few nights ago, wearing the gold practice jersey, in Bloomington these days, and that doesn't come any surprise, I'm sure, to you or I.
No, I think it took them a couple of weeks, but Juwan Morgan, I believe, had it the first 2 weeks, and now Romeo took over. And for those that aren't real familiar, I guess, with what that is, it's basically IU scores every practice on a point system, so it's not really open to interpretation, not a coach's pick. It's actually they chart everything, and at the end of each practice, everyone is assigned a point value, and then at the end of the week of practice, everyone looks at their team, and whoever wins gets the gold jersey. So I think Juwan won it the first 2 weeks, and then Romeo was able to pick it up here this last week. So that never a bad thing to have your two best players competing like that in practice.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, our guest, talking IU basketball here in this segment. Romeo continues to get a lot of preseason accolades, preseason respect, and various things that have been out there, from the preseason Big Ten team to just about anything that involves Indiana or the Big Ten Conference. He finds a way, it seems, to get some sort of mention. That said, he continues to be a big name on draft boards, NBA draft boards out there across the country as we look ahead to June in the 2019 draft. As Romeo goes through his first season of college basketball, I'm sure at every opportunity, I don't know if they open a lot of practices up or just occasionally, but NBA scouts will be at practices when they can be. They will obviously be at every, I would say, IU contest this season. So that will all kind of be going on in the background.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, I know that scouts try to make it to practices when they're allowed to, and it's pretty interesting once the season starts, because you'll see those guys in the press room before the game. They'll have a media pass on typically, and I think they usually sit in like a ticketed seat, but they usually have a media pass. So you can, if you're in there before the game, you can kind of look around and see which teams are represented. And, you know, last year there wasn't a whole lot of scouts there on a game-to-game basis just based on the roster. But I think this year, you know, I would expect the demand for the NBA scouts to have a spot at each game. I mean, I remember last year the Duke game, there was, I think, 20 or 30 of them there for IU Duke. This year, I think it'll be a lot more often that you're seeing NBA guys. And I know a lot of them have already started to do background. I've actually had a couple NBA teams just contact me to ask a couple questions about Romeo. So the background research has already begun, and they're trying to gather as much detail as possible. So it's fascinating to see how it all plays out. And it's crazy, you know, how detail they go into trying to gather information on these guys. But then when you look at the money that's being handed out and what's on the line in terms of making the right pick, I guess it's not all that surprising.
We were talking about this before we went on the air today, and all new to me, obviously. But NBA scouts coming to the games, what exactly are they looking for? You mentioned the background information they try to gather outside of the games and so on. But if you're an NBA scout and you're watching Romeo play whoever the opponent might be, what exactly are you looking for?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, obviously they have film and everything at their disposal, any resource available that they want, if they want to look further into a kid. But I mean, the job of most scouts that I've talked to is they have to report to either the scouting director or the GM, and when they go out and watch a college game, they're writing a report of what they saw. So maybe one game they're looking at you know, what a guy's doing offensively, maybe another game they're more focused on defense. But you know, they're basically putting a file together with as much information as possible on it, on every kid. And so, you know, it's not just going to be looking at Romeo Langford. They're going to be looking at Juwan Morgan. They're going to be looking at Justin Smith. They're going to be looking at guys potentially in the other games. You know, I talked to several scouts last year at games where they weren't actually even looking at guys on the Indiana team. They were there more to see, you know, an opponent, because of someone in that area, they maybe not don't get a chance to see, you know, a team that's coming from somewhere else as frequently. They just go to an Indiana game if they live nearby, and they can watch, you know, different teams come in and out. But basically what they're doing is charting, taking as much information down as possible, and then pretty much adding a report to a file that the team would have. And when it comes time to make draft decisions, time to pick who you want to have for a workout, you know, you reference all that information and make decisions based on that.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, our guest, presented by CC Power Sports. Getting back into this year's team more, you've had great profiles. That series continues at InsideTheHall.com on all the 18-19 IU Hoosiers. One of your most recent, in fact, it came out just this morning, was an in-depth read on Al Durham Jr. Al was someone last year that, you know, at times you thought, okay, you know, he's going to fit in, he can do this, he can do that. At other times, you weren't necessarily sold on long-term what his role would be and where he would be at with the program. I think he's completely changed his standing with things heading into the season, at least. Not only improvements in his body, but improvements to his game that might offer him more opportunities to see minutes and maybe even see some key minutes for this team as we head into the season.
Yeah, he's important, obviously, from a depth perspective, because you look at this roster, there's just not a lot of guys who are you would consider to be a guard, you know, beyond the walk, you know, not counting the walk-ons. You know, Romeo obviously qualifies, Devontae Green, Al Durham, and Robert Fennessy, but really that's it in terms of guys that you think really have a realistic shot to play. And Al Durham was productive last year in his first season. He started a lot of key games, and he's a guy that may be a little bit overshadowed going into the season, but the one thing that he does really well, two things. Defensively, he's, I think, above average. He's long. He can get into people. He's athletic enough to stay in front of guys. And offensively, he does a really good job of, you know, just kind of cutting through guys and getting into the lane. And he's the finish better, obviously, but if he can continue to do those two things pretty well, he's got a ton of value for this team as a guy that can come off the bench and, you know, maybe play 15, 20 minutes a game depending on the opponent. And, you know, just to be a guy who's going to push the other guys in front of him. It wouldn't be surprising at all to see, you know, a game or two where Al Durham's a starter. Maybe there's going to be some games where Indiana's going to play three guards depending on the matchup. And I think he's going to be a key piece going into the season. I don't necessarily think he's going to be, you know, one of the top two or three players on the team, but when you kind of go down the roster depth, he's clearly right there, in my mind, as one of the first guys off the bench.
Indiana plays six of their first seven games at home. They have 14 games before the end of the year, 10 in Bloomington, one in Indy. I would think with a young ball club, it's important the more games you can play at home, especially early in the season. You agree with that assessment?
Yeah, but they're going to Arkansas and Duke too in November, and that's pretty ambitious for a young team. I mean, obviously, I know the Duke game is not something they have any control over because it's set by the conference, but for them to go to Arkansas, now I know Arkansas is not projected to be very good, but it is a Power 5 team. It is a team that's really good on their home court. It's definitely a non-conference schedule that, in my mind, has been upgraded over what we saw the last 3 or 4 years. They're playing some good teams. Obviously, they have the Louisville game coming at home. They've got Butler and Indy, as you mentioned. They got Marquette at home. UC Davis is a team that they're going to play at home that could be a potential NCAA tournament team. So I think overall they've done a pretty good job of mixing it up between high-level opponents and then obviously some games that you schedule that, you know, you're looking at a win pretty much regardless of what you do. But I think they've done a really good thing by playing those two early road games because they've got to go to Penn State in early December. That won't be easy. And then obviously there's 10 total Big Ten road games this year. So I think one thing that's going to be important as they try to build an NCAA tournament resume is to be able to get some wins away from home because those are rare, and the more of those you can pick up, the more that matters when it comes ultimately to when the NCAA tournament selection committee is kind of listing their teams, one to however six to do it. They look at things like road wins and how you played away from home and on neutral court when it comes time to earn that seed.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, this segment presented by CC Power Sports. Final question, Alex. Of course, the secret scrimmage, the closed scrimmage, whatever you want to call it, We may find out some things about that after it's played, but probably nothing with too much detail. The first opportunity for fans, media, everyone to watch Romeo and the Hoosiers for this upcoming season will be the November 1st exhibition against the University of Southern Indiana. It's obviously a quality ball club. They're not just a small college team that's going to come into Assembly Hall and kind of ooh and ah and be glad to be there, and that's it. They're going to be a competitive team with a lot of athletes that many of them possibly could have played at a mid-major type Division I program but chose to go to Southern Indiana. What will you be most looking forward to or most looking for in that game to get a read on for the season ahead?
Mainly the new players, the ones I haven't seen before, particularly guys like Evan Fitzner, Race Thompson. I mean, I've seen obviously Race Thompson a little bit going back to high school, but haven't really seen him in this setting as much. So not Romeo, obviously, but I've seen him so much that nothing will really surprise me at this point. But mainly the new guys, how they fit in. And then also, you know, if it's a somewhat competitive game, just the rotation, which guys are getting out there on the floor the most and who kind of is the first couple guys off the bench. I think that gives you a pretty good indication. You know, if practice drives, who gets the minutes, you know, I think it's interesting to see up until that point who's earned the most opportunity based on how they played in practice. I think that should give you at least a little bit of insight as to how the rotation is going to look early in the season. But I think this team is going to be what we see early in the season. It's going to be totally different by the end of the year. But just because there's so many new guys, there's so many different things that have to play out. A lot of guys, I think, are going to make significant improvement over the course of the season. At least that's what you hope for when you have a young team. But I think more than anything else, I'm just excited and curious to see some of the new guys and how they're going to look first time under the bright lights of Assembly Hall. It's just a week away from today. It seems like this has been the longest off season ever, considering IU last played a game in early March. That's obviously earlier for the end of the season than most people would like. And I think everyone's just excited. Fans, media, anyone that, you know, follows the program closely, just that basketball is back finally a week from today.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. Stop into CC Power Sports with locations in Clarksville and Southern Jefferson County for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. CC Power Sports bringing you Alex Bozich each Thursday here on the show. Alex, thanks. We'll talk with you next Thursday and, of course, get a little closer to the start of the season, get much closer to the start of the season, and to look forward to our conversation then.
Absolutely, guys. Have a great one.
Alex Bozich Inside the Hall with us. We'll head to a very quick commercial break. We'll come back with Jeffersonville basketball coach Joe Luce. He'll join us after the break. We'll talk about his Red Devils for the upcoming season, and we'll check in on his son, Purdue Boilermaker Tommy Luce, in his second year as a walk-on for Matt Painter's program. All of that and more coming your way as we wrap things up in the final segment after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on this Thursday show, Lee Kelly with me. Final segment, we have Joe Luce, the coach at Jeffersonville, entering his fourth year as the Red Devils boss, joining us for an early season, a preseason update on his team, and just to catch up with basketball. Coach Luce, thanks for being with us. Tell me, how do you like the opportunity to practice 2 days a week for a couple hours each day? It's a new rule this year, starting in late August. Your thoughts on being able to actually have full practice with your team this early?
I've not been a big fan. I think it's a rule that was meant to, you know, give a little bit of a better opportunity for, you know, athletic directors to control what was going on, you know, within their programs. But unfortunately, I think it, you know, it really limited our athletes to opportunities to get into the gym and do what I think is most important in the fall, and that's work individually on, you know, getting better at skill development, shooting the basketball. And be honest with you, I don't know that, you know, it's the time in August and September to be coaching kids and pushing them to you know, to do things that you're going to talk to them about in the weeks leading up to November 5th. And I don't know about, you know, other coaches, but, you know, I'm incapable of being in the gym and not pointing out some things, whether it's hard play or offensive rebounding or just the things that we know we're going to hold very very important to being successful in our season.
Joe Luce, the coach at Jeff, joining us today. We all are familiar with Trey Coleman since the end of your season a year ago, or less than a year ago, but at the end of the 17-18 season. He's really had some positive things happen with his development and his recruiting, and so he's been a name even in the off season that has stayed in the forefront. Maybe an update on Trey, any recruiting notes to pass along, and how he's been performing as you, I know we're really count on him for this upcoming season.
You know, Trey is a guy that definitely blossomed over the summer, had a fantastic sophomore year as a role player, you know, on a very good team that won 20 games. And, you know, as he got into the summer, he really had a chance to do some things that maybe he hadn't been expected to do as a high school sophomore. Expanded his game to the perimeter. He is shooting the basketball much better than he has in the past. Able to, get to the rim even better off the dribble. And I think most importantly, he has got back to, putting his body on somebody in the post and getting some catches there and scoring that maybe we did not emphasize enough last year, with him as his coach. And moving forward, I think as we go into this year, you're going to see a kid that definitely will be able to do some of the things that he did last year, such as guard all five positions, you know, shoot the basketball when needed, but definitely just has a different athleticism to him, a much different presence to him, and overall a kid that's really driven. His recruitment, still involves Nebraska at the high major level with interest from from other programs at the high major level, but nobody in a position to offer him right now. He has offers from multiple mid-majors, and I think just about any mid-major that was in search of somebody at his position or a young man that could play multiple positions would be interested in offer Trey. So I'm excited for him. Academically, he's doing very well at the highest he's been since he's been in Jeffersonville. So a kid that's kind of getting it together, and I think ultimately will be tested when the season starts, because it's easy to do some things in the off season, but you got to play when the lights are on. So we're going to see, and I'm excited to watch him play.
A lot of other familiar faces coming back to help Trey this season, Coach, that looked awfully good this summer in the summer league and saw a lot of time last year. Some of those players that have looked good for you so far this fall.
One thing about us in the summer, everybody has a different approach, and I just think you got to be careful, overdoing it. And so we get shots up, and we do a lot of individual stuff in the summer. But as far as team play, we don't over organize that. And a lot of people might look at it as waste of time to be in a position where you're playing those games and not have stuff in. But we want to see our guys compete and rebound and guard defensively. But it also makes for a very ugly game, and puts us in positions where maybe we don't look like a 4A school from Jeffersonville High School. So, as we've gotten into the fall and begin to have a little bit of more of an idea of what the vision of this team is going to be, we've seen some guys continue to rise to the top. Jacob Jones is playing his best basketball I've seen him play in the 2 years that he's been a part of our program. Again, has to play when the lights are on, and I expect that from him. Jalen Fairman's a returning player for us who is definitely going to be somebody that will add to our program, and we're looking forward to hopefully those three guys returning from last year and some other new faces to make for a good lineup.
Jeffersonville coach Joe Luce is joining us today on the Hoosier Report for a very early look at his Jeffersonville team for the upcoming season. Coach, you've provided a lot of great perspective for us and for listeners in your time at Jeffersonville with all your experiences at different blue blood type programs in Indiana high school basketball. I always ask you for comparisons or for you to compare and contrast Southern Indiana to say Richmond or to say Marion, other stops where you've been the head coach. But now that you've settled in Southern Indiana, and now that you've kind of seen from the time your Richmond team went all the way to Semi-State, which was played at Seymour, you've had Jeffersonville teams now go through some of the big rivalry games and postseason games here in Southern Indiana. I'm curious your thoughts on Southern Indiana basketball. Obviously, we're coming out of a really good time with a player like Romeo Langford last year and many other good players across the area. But curious your thoughts, how you see this part of the state, because you're one of those coaches that hadn't just been at Jeffersonville, a 4A school in our area, but you've been at some other big 4A schools and schools that have been very important to the history and the makeup of Indiana high school hoops.
Yeah, you know, I've been fortunate to coach a lot of great players and it'll be in some historic programs that, you know, the coaches and players before, you know, when I was able to be a part of it, made those programs, elite-type programs across the state of Indiana. And, you know, each and every one has their own history, their own rivalry games, a feel about, you know, how the community takes, you know, boys basketball and the importance that it has. But, you know, the one thing that has just continually been different, you know, from the day that we started here, and that is in Southern Indiana, it's just a throwback. And when I say throwback, you know, I obviously don't know what that means as far as coaching and playing, but, you know, I went to the games in the, you know, late 70s and all through the 80s to the NCC, and, you know, my dad never missed an opportunity to take me to watch a game in a full gym against the best players I've ever played. And, you know, I just remember that being such a draw for me and something I wanted to be a part of. And, you know, I was a high school player at, you know, a competitive high school of 500 students, but, you know, not playing in the games that, you know, are such of Jeffersonville and New Albany, but, you know, I always dreamt about doing that. And unfortunately, in some of the jobs that, you know, I've had before, they were great, great games, packed gyms, you know, 7,000 people, but it wasn't as consistent as what I've seen in Southern Indiana. And that is just each and every game has a little bit different feel. You know, we're still doing everything we can to draw more and more people into our games. And the bottom line is you got to win, you got to play for championships, and you got to put a product on the floor that people are proud of. So, you know, I think as we continue to do that, there just won't be, you know, 3 to 5 games a year that, you know, are pushing having, you know, great crowds and, you know, even the sellouts that we see, you know, with New Albany. But, again, just a throwback type of a feel when you get into Southern Indiana, that old basketball feel that I remember when I went to the gym, you know, as a young man, and, you know, just excited to be in this part of the area and hopefully can be a team that represents Southern Indiana, you know, at a bigger stage as we continue, you know, this journey of getting Jeffersonville to the top.
Jeffersonville coach Joe Luce is with us. You know, I mentioned your son, Tommy Luce, and I said second-year walk-on player. I'm incorrect with that. He was given a scholarship. We mentioned that on this program right when it happened at Purdue, and I know that he has played a vital role on the bench for that team, and you've told me off-air some great opportunities and stories that he's had to interact with Purdue's players and coaches, and what an experience for him. I know you're very proud of his accomplishments and proud that he is a scholarship player at Purdue now. What a neat deal, and I'm sure that you and your family have very much enjoyed seeing Tommy get the opportunity to extend his basketball career and put himself in a position down the road, whether it's coaching or something else in basketball or sports, to really have a leg up with quite an experience at Purdue under Matt Painter.
Yeah, it's a real humbling deal for Tommy, and you know, I think the biggest thing that you know, Tommy was able to build off of, if you ask him, and that is the relationship that he and I had as you know, a coach and a son. We you know, we never put each other in a position where we felt like you know, we needed to be entitled. You know, Tommy wasn't given anything, and I never, you know, expected anything but him to just be himself. And a lot of character, I think, you know, became a part of who he is over the 4 years of playing, you know, high school basketball. And, you know, Tommy really left high school basketball in Indiana with a lot of respect for the game. But again, just a little bit different level of respect for the opportunity the game of basketball can give you. And when he was asked to, you know, be a part of the Purdue basketball family, and, you know, obviously a relationship with Matt Painter from the past didn't hurt, but, you know, this is the first time that Paint has, you know, reached out to anybody who was in his, you know, his tree of just friends to have a son play. And it was an opportunity that Tommy's taken full advantage of. He leads their team academically each and every semester. He continues to make sure that he doesn't try to be anybody that he's not. And, you know, he's just a very humble, down-to-earth kid that realizes his role, is proud of his role, honored to be you know, a teammate of all the great players that he is able to meet and experience the college basketball game with. But I think the thing about Tommy is, you know, he knows and thinks that he belongs, but maybe it's not, you know, during that 40 minutes of action. And he just knows that he can be a benefit to that program. And with that said, he's going to put himself in a position he already has that he's going to, you know, he's going to have a great, you know, adult life. He's going to be able to pick and choose what profession he wants to be in. He has to take advantage of that opportunity like he has, you know, his college basketball experience so far. But ultimately, he's just a good kid that is laid back and, you know, just kind of does the right thing. And, you know, the best compliment I've ever gotten on him was, you know, Paint was talking to me a few weeks ago. He got married, and we were talking about Tommy for a minute, and he just said, you know, I don't know that I've ever coached a guy that I trust more. He said, I think I could tell him about anything, and he'd keep it, you know, to his chest and wouldn't let anybody, you know what I told him. And that's just kind of who Tommy is, man. He's just a good guy that does what's right.
Joe Luce, head coach at Jeffersonville. Coach, we're under a month away from the first high school basketball games of the season. We'll be talking with you on a more regular basis. Always great to catch up. Look forward to watching your Devils play very soon.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks for the coverage and asking me to be on.
Absolutely. Joe Luce of Jeffersonville with Lee and I to wrap up this Thursday program. Lee, thanks so much once again for being in studio with me today. That will wrap it up for this Thursday show. We'll be back Friday, 11 o'clock, with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call and Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. That all coming your way on the Friday edition of the program. Have a great day. We'll talk with you tomorrow right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.